Hey Jeff, how are you, man?
Oh, good. How are you doing?
Good, brother, thank you. All good. Just let a few people in. Kent is on his way in now. You driving, Jeff? Yeah, you're not parked up.
Yeah, no. I'm driving. I'm actually on my way to the gym now, so I was just gonna have it with me as I'm going around.
Good, brother. No worries. If you need to just keep us in the background, there's no problem, man. Don't worry about
All right.
trying. You concentrate on driving.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Ken, good to have you, man. Vamshi, good to have you on, brother. There he is. Nice t-shirt, man. Looking good, man. You doing well? Good, good. There's a couple more people joining now. See, Chaz. There he is. George is in.
Good
How you
morning.
doing? Oh,
Good. How are you?
it's morning time with you, isn't it? How you doing, man?
Oh, sorry. Good evening. Yeah, good, good.
You're good.
Good
You
shaking.
upper body for you today, yeah?
We sure do. Got those pull-ups.
You've got the clusters in the bag. Here we go. Look out. Enjoy it, brother.
thank you.
Paul, good to see you, man. How are we doing?
Perfectly fine.
Good, good. How's training going for you, brother?
But for the most part,
Yeah?
yeah, just got back from
Making
like a week of travel,
progress?
maybe 2 weeks ago,
Oh, where'd you go?
to Missouri to visit sister. So about
Fantastic.
8 hours away.
Oh, it was a good trip.
Yeah, it was.
Good,
Had fun.
good. Good, good. Okay, so we've got quite a few on. Obviously, there's people driving and so on, so there's videos off at the moment. But what we're going to do today, gents, obviously the topic of the call was increasing endurance after, obviously, as we get to the age of 30 plus, 35, 40, and so on, and athletic development as we hit those ages as well and onwards. So I've got a little slide deck presentation just to keep me on track a little bit because I tend to go off on tangents here and there, so that might keep me on track, and then it might be able to allow us to go into a little bit more information based off you boys as well. So let me pull up, let me see. There we go. Okay. Share my screen. Paul, can you see this, mate? Good, good. So I'll expand it out in a second. And for the guys that are driving, make sure you're watching the road, not so much on the slide deck or anything. You'll be able to catch up the replay, and we can make thing information like this into the group for you as well. So don't worry too much. But yeah, so what we're looking at today, boys, is athletic conditioning after the age of 40. So there's a few things we're going to touch on in quite a little bit of depth. But before I start, let me just stop share one sec. How many of you are endeavoring in terms of in your goals right now, looking at that time in life, are those your types of goals? Is it endurance, athletic performance? Are those some of the things you're starting to really think about now when you're starting to hit the training in the gym, looking at goals you're working on right now, and then thinking long term what that looks like for you? Because that's going to be a big obvious component, right? So some people are training for hypertrophy and body composition, and then once we start to attain those goals, it's like, well, what's the next step, right? So this might start to unpack a little bit of that today for you, but I'd love to just open it up to you boys and see one if you've got any plans for that yourselves, or if you're actually training for that right now, right? So I know, Paul, you got your video on at the minute, so do you mind if I pose that question to you for now?
Sure, no problem. With regards to a long-term goal, it'd be joining the 1,000-pound club. That's like a year's worth thing.
Nice. Okay, on the three big lifts.
Yep.
Yep. So you've been talking to Andrew about that as well in your coaching?
Yes. Training's
Cool.
been that for like since the beginning of the year, I think. I'm about to
Beautiful.
do another test in like a week or two.
Nice, man. Well, that's if that's the case, this is going to tie in nicely with what we're going to cover today, because we are going to talk strength training as well, for sure. And we're going to go through some little case studies I put in there as well, just so you can see how strength is going to affect quite a lot of things. So if you're going to hit the 1,000 pound club after you've achieved that goal, because you will, anything you put your mind towards, you'll end up doing. It's going to be hard, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be a tough road, but you'll get there. But now it's being, well, what does that look like with athleticism? What does that look like for muscular endurance, right? So I know you've done endurance-based stuff in the past, Paul, correct? Might have been somebody else on a call I was with.
Possibly someone else.
More
It's always
strength
been
training, yeah.
it's hypertrophy to strength training.
Beautiful. That'll tie in nicely with this one today as well. So yeah, you're gonna enjoy this stuff. George, I know you've got some big goals. You did very well in the Costa Rica component as well. And we're working on some fantastic goals, especially with energy metabolism, making sure human performance is pushed to the maximum, you know?
Yeah, so like my journey started from burnout and where I couldn't do anything for greater than 2 weeks. Now I can train for a block of 4 to 5 months at a time. I think we're into the fourth month without having to take a break. So that level of endurance has been paramount for me.
So what do you think the main focus has been for us in terms of our training to get you to that? Obviously, we're talking like nutrition and so on as well, for sure, but in terms of the training aspect.
Hand on heart, it's been nimble. It's been able to be flexible with knowing what type of sets and what type of reps work for me. Because when I'm feeling flat and the energy isn't there, I have to pull back from the sets of 8, 10, and 12. But I still want to lift. I don't want to be on hormone replacement therapy. Not that there's anything wrong with it. They're just my personal goals at the moment.
So notice that we're pulling up, so we've been pulling away from the higher rep stuff and dipping you in. We've had the, so boys, just for you guys on the call, just so you're aware, I'm sure George won't mind me sharing this type of stuff. It might be that some of you are on this, on a similar path to this as well, where you've pushed the higher rep stuff quite a lot, and you might be more where you've never dipped into those low rep strength training. Maybe not Paul, because he's going for the 1,000 pound club, so he's definitely going into those low rep ranges. But some people just need that little bit more slower coaxing to train their nervous system and not overload their nervous system with just tons of volume with low rep training and high intensity training, or high load training. So we're having to take a smart approach with George to dip him into that. And the more we're doing that, and you're going to see this on today's call, George, it might really sort of open up the mindset on it a little bit more. Where as we dip into those strength numbers and really push relative strength and maximal strength, it's going to allow you to have more endurance. It's going to allow you to have more athleticism. And there are certain aspects that cover that as well. So I just wanted to start off with just seeing where a few of you were, because it's gonna tie into where you actually are and where you're actually moving to with the goals you're setting as well. So let me just start this up. And let's do that. So hopefully you can still see me, guys. So if there's anybody that has questions, because I can't see any of the chat right now. So if you do have questions, just feel free to unmute yourselves and just fire them out as I'm going, okay? So let me just pop to the next slide. So this was a sentence coined to me years ago when I first started studying strength training. Strength was the mother of all qualities. So what it means by that, some of you might have heard it, some of you might have not. What it means by that is strength will dictate every other qu physical quality around that. So strength will drive wannabe. Well, you cannot get hypertrophy without strength. You cannot improve power development or speed development without strength. You won't be able to increase endurance without strength. You will increase them, but there will be a limitation, and you won't be able to improve it maximally without driving strength. Strength is the mother of all physical qualities. right? So there are going to be times in your journey where you might have to do a little bit of hypertrophy and then you start into your strength work. There will be where you might start with endurance, where you're going to have to do skill acquisition, you're going to have to do repetitions. Because as you start in your journey, any type of training is going to start to give you a strength response anyway, right? So, but as you start to get a little bit more advanced, you've got a couple of years under your belt in terms of good resistance training, you're going to start to need to put strength in the front seat and you're going to have to be smart about how you program that. And so you're always giving yourself that room to push and then back off, which is exactly what myself and George are doing right now with his programs. So just keep that in mind and keep that phrase in there and let it keep coming back to you, because if there's a plateau in anything, you're going to plateau on strength at some times. You have to back off from the low reps and high loading just to give your nervous system a break, and then you're going to have to push another quality. But when it comes back to it, strength will be the one that drives everything else. So as we unpack this talk today, you'll see how it drives in particular to the endurance that I focus on today and power development. Because there's a couple of things that I honestly believe as you get older, there's certain qualities that you're going to lose pretty fast. One of them is going to be speed. And not a lot of people talk about that in terms of training for longevity, right? So speed is going to be one of those critical physical qualities you're going to want to keep into your training programs as you go past the age of 40, 50, 60, and so on, because those fast twitch fibers you're going to lose the ability to use them. Strength training is going to be there for sure, but speed is going to drop fast. So we want to help make sure that we put those types of things in place. And if you're going to do something like your 1,000 pound club, Paul, you might be using things like speed implements where you're going to have to push that speed component and power component to allow you to transcend more strength development further on if you're going to reach those types of numbers as well. Does that make sense? So we've covered obviously the mother of all strength qualities is going to improve power, endurance, and hypertrophy. But what we have to understand is it's going to give you the higher resiliency that you need because it's going to reduce fatigue. The main thing it's going to start to do is reduce fatigue. And as we start to go through this, you'll see why in a second. But the more force you can produce, the stronger you get, the less effort it's going to take you to do other things. Right. So think about strength as the real driver to allow you to reserve energy. So when you have a strength reserve, everything else in the day becomes so much easier. Right. And obviously, as we the long-term benefits here in terms of longevity for athletic performance, you're going to get changes in muscle architecture, and you're going to last longer. And this lasts longer than metabolic adaptations. So metabolic adaptations will start to drop off, but strength will last a lot longer, right? So it's going to take you a lot longer to drop off. Now, obviously, as we age and we go 50, 60, 70s, 80s, I personally, myself, I want to still be in the strength. I still want to be in the weight room when I'm 80 years old, like for sure. I want to keep weight training as long as I can, until my last days. But it's also going to give me the independence that I need. So when we're looking at people that die within a year of falling and breaking their hip with a hip fracture, right? That's not independence. So if you're going to fall, you're going to fall fast. You need speed. If you're going to fall, you're going to fall fast. You're going to need strength in the hips. So things like this are going to really start to play a big dividend when you're putting strength in the front seat, because you're going to be able to do a lot of things more so as you age than other people that don't strength train, right? There is going to be one caveat to all of this coming up in a second, because we can talk fancy stuff in terms of speed and power, but there's something so simple that I'm going to leave to the end, which will highlight everything. Easier movement and obviously lower risk of injury. So from falls, things like that. The cardiovascular respiratory health is indirect, but remember, the higher strength reserve you have, the easier daily tasks are. So you're going to delay fatigue accumulation. So if you've seen somebody that's weak trying to climb a flight of stairs and they're out of puff, right? That's not because they might be cardiovascularly unfit, but typically it's because they're weak, right? It's like doing a 1RM trying to walk up the stairs. So the stronger you are to get up the stairs, the easier that's going to be on your heart rate, right? So it's got an indirect correlation with your cardiovascular health. And obviously, in terms of hypertrophy, the stronger you are, the more motor unit recruitment you're going to get. So if you're pushing that strength component, you're going to get way higher levels of muscle fiber activation because you're pushing those heavy loads. And the heavy loads are going to help you really recruit the muscle fibers that are going to be primed for hypertrophy. Okay. So for longevity, we know that muscle strength and cardiovascular output, VO2 max, are going to be the biggest predictors you have for living a healthy, longer life, right? Now, this is something I pulled up here just to highlight how strength drives power, right? So people can train like faster and get fast twitch muscle fiber recruitment and speed and so on. So, Paul, have you ever done any power training? So, if you're moving towards like the 1,000 pound club, you've done a lot of strength work. Have you done any power training before?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. So, think power. Power is like there's a speed component and there's a maximal strength component, right? So, you think speed, it's like med ball throws that are very, very light. It might be plyometric work where you jump, just using your body weight to jump and so on. So, that's more of like the speed element. Okay, very, very light stuff. It's like a med ball, you're going to throw it as far as you can, like a 5 pound med ball. Like the faster that goes, then you're really training acceleration and speed. Whereas, like, you've got the other end of the spectrum and you've got your 1RM, like that's going to be slow as hell, right? Like, that's going to be a grind. It doesn't matter how long it's going to take to get up. That's your 1RM. That's 100%. And this is like 10% of your 1RM. So, this speed really fast and this is really slow. Power sits right in the middle. It's about 50%. So it's a combination of speed and strength, right? So basically, what we're looking at is if you can, let's say, front squat 100 kilos, we're going to go through some numbers in a second, right? And I take that 100, and I take that 100 kilos, and then I drop 50% off that number. You're going to be able to move 50 kilos faster than you can move 100 kilos. That makes sense? So at this point, what we're looking at is how fast can you move that, right? So the goal is to be able to move lighter weights as fast as possible. And that is going to help you improve your power development. So what we want to start to do is get you stronger. And you can see the numbers here. So what we're trying to do is move the what technical terms, force term, the force time curve to the left. So essentially, if at this end to my right is maximal slow speed work. It's very, very slow because it's your 1RM. The faster, like the lighter it gets, goes to the left here. So it might be a little bit other way around on the camera, but I'm moving to my left. So that's the speed element, like the 10% med ball stuff. And this is the slower element, right? So we're trying to move this way. So this is where we're going to be doing more explosive actions. So sprinting, jumping, throwing. So here, for example, if I'm an 85 kilo male squatting 125 kilos for a front squat, if I use 62.5 kilos, that's 50% for power. Okay, so I know if I use 62.5 kilos, 65 kilos, I'm going to be able to move that as fast as possible, and then I'm going to be able to start training power. It's pure power development. So the intent is not trying to just feel every inch of the rep. The goal is A to B as fast as possible, right? You're not trying to contract your way through it. You're trying to accelerate through it. So speed. Now, if I increase my front squat from 125 to 170, now this 62.5 becomes 37%, not 50%. Does that make sense? So if I get myself stronger straight away, I'm now not even working power. I'm working more speed elements. So now my optimal load for power is going to be 85 kilos because I need it around that 50 kilo, 50%, anywhere from 70 to 50%, you'll be working power. Right? Does that make sense, Paul? Yeah. Guys, anybody that's on mute or had your camera off right now, if you've got any questions on this as I go through, just unmute yourselves and fire the questions over. But the whole goal for power, obviously, is you want to be able to move and accelerate that load as fast as possible, right? But there's no way you're going to do that with very heavy loads over 70%, right? That's when you're going into the hypertrophy stuff. A little bit of muscular endurance for sure up here. Sorry, not muscular endurance, more of hypertrophy and strength endurance. But as you move closer to that 1RM, that's when you're going to be doing very maximal strength training, maximal hypertrophy, and maximal strength relative strength. So it's further away. So you need to know these numbers if you're really going to want to work on power and speed and athleticism as you go through these training programs. Knowing these numbers is going to allow you to go, well, if this is my loading for my front squat now, this is like the percentages I'm going to need to be in if I'm going to use power and speed. And that's going to be crucial for athletic development, because now if I move fast, that's going to help me with my running cadence. That's going to help me with my fibers of muscles that I want to do to move around with, you know? Now, in terms of endurance, similar type of thing. So we look at strength improvements for endurance. Now, this is using less of your max. That means you have less fatigue. So, like I just made a comment about somebody walking up the stairs, you see somebody that's so weak, they're walking up the stairs and their heart rate's through the roof. They've got no muscular endurance because they're weak, right? So, the stronger they get, the less fatigued they're going to become doing anything throughout the day, right? It's just less effort to do things, right? So, you're going to have better, way better work capacity. And you have less fatigue buildup. Okay, so let's go back to the 85 kilo male. Okay, he's using 81.25 kilos. So that's 65% for 15 reps. So we're basing it off the front squat. So 15 reps of your 1RM is going to be about 65%. So that's about 82 kilos. Now, if you're doing 15 reps at 81 kilos, with a 125 kilo front squat. Is everybody with me? So if I do 125 kilo front squat, if I'm gonna take that load and do 65% of that load, I should be able to hit 15 repetitions. Okay, and 65% of that 125 load is gonna be 81 kilos. Okay, so I should be able to get about 15. So that is the percentage of my 1RM that I should be able to do. Now, as soon as I shift and put the strength emphasis on the front squat, and I get that to 170 kilos. So Paul, this is you, right? This is your bag right now. You're going to be pushing that load, right? You're going to get strong, strong, strong. So now if I take that 65% from the 125, which is 81 kilos, but now I can squat 170. Well, now technically I should be able to do anywhere from 25 to 35 reps with that same load. So straight away, I haven't trained endurance, I've trained maximal strength, but I built up muscular endurance just by default, because that weight is just so much easier to move because I'm so strong. Right? So it doesn't mean that you don't train endurance ever, but just by pushing maximal strength work and relative strength to your body weight as well. So notice this body weight hasn't changed, 85 kilos. So this will be a 2x body weight squat. Right, so front like that's a true athletic performance standard. So if you see the top strength coaches in the world, they would say, as soon as you hit that 2x body weight squat, everything changes. Like your weight, like you can push power and speed development way better. The strength reserve you have is so much more suited for everything else to develop. Right. So the reason I say the strength reserve is, if you move away from strength training and have to push something else. Remember, if you stop training one thing, you're going to lose a little bit of it. You're going to lose the adaptation a little bit as soon as you come away from that strength training quality. So if you've got a strength reserve, it'll drop off a little bit, but it's not going to drop off enough for you to touch something else and then go back to, because now it's not going to take you longer to get back and then past where you were. Right? So it's good to have a real good strength reserve. And then, like, to be honest, like 2x body weight squat for some people is tough. But if you can get around the 1.5, 1.7 and up body weight squats, for example, you're gonna be in a great place, an absolute great place. George, Paul, does this make sense? This endurance part here as well. Just by shifting that strength, those strength numbers up, straight away you go back to the load you could use previously, and it's like boom, double the reps, easy. Right.
On.
So George, this is what I'm saying about like our training right now, where we're touching that low rep stuff a little bit more. when we, excuse me, when we're trying to push other things in terms of output, even if I gave you the output you were doing like 6 months ago, you'd find that way easier, and you wouldn't be bothered with it. Your energy production would be fine, right? So these are things we're pushing. Okay, and this is the factor that people miss. There's no way you can gain strength without mobility. Impossible. Like, you're only going to get strength within the ranges you're going to train. So as much full range of motion as possible within your own mechanics, but you need to use range to use strength functionally. So when we squat, ideally you squat as low as you can, below hip crease if you can, full ankle range if you can. If you have limitations, then we have to use implements and things like that to obviously get around those things. But we want to be using mobility as a full range of motion access as much as possible. So if you're only using certain ranges of motion in your shoulder because the form's poor and so on, or your mobility's lacking, and then you have to substitute things and work around machines and so on, as you get older and you need function to be there, machines can be great, but using good functional movements, if possible, are going to be a great way to keep all of that function around the body. So mobility is going to be key as a key part of your program. So this is why when you fit, like all you guys come into the program right now, the first elements of our foundation phase is everybody has to do mobility. Like, we want to make sure we're accessing all the ranges possible. You've seen the foundations program. We're making sure we're getting strong at those end ranges in the short position and the lengthened position, right? So we're going to need to be pushing those levels of mobility as we go, right? And now with full mobility, it's going to allow you to express power across the full movement. So you're not just using like a half squat, for example. You're going to accelerate right from the bottom of the squat if you can get there, right? And obviously, mobility is going to be integrated alongside strength as a core longevity factor. So being mobile as you age, like, everything's going to start to close in and around you, and sometimes the range of motion starts to drop off. So keeping this mobility as you age is going to be critical. So I didn't want to go too technical on the power and speed development. I could probably talk for a day, full day on power and speed development, but I just wanted to show you what it looks like, what happens to power and speed, and what happens to muscular endurance if you put strength in the front seat. Right, and you use that as the main driver as you really get past the ages of 35, 40, 50, 60, and so on. So just the case study I showed you here, if we had that front squat at 125, that's 1.5 times body weight, let's say. And now taking that to 170 for this 85-kilo male, that's now a 2 times body weight squat. Right. So if you look at the power loads, that rises from 62.5 to 85 kilos. So now you're pushing that at 50%, not this. And obviously, the endurance load, if you kept that same load from the 125, you could increase 15 reps to about anywhere from 25 to 35. Right? So muscular endurance goes up massively. Okay? Without training it. And obviously, what you want to think about now when you're pushing that is, yes, you want to train those things, but you also want to make sure that you obviously got a good periodization model in place where you're going to push a parameter and you're going to find limitation. There's always going to be limiters in your training. This is what makes strength training so amazing. You can do this for the rest of your life, and you've always got things to work on. There's always progression to do. So as you push one thing, remember, you're going to limit something else. You have to drop. You can't do all things all the time. You can't ride two horses with one ass. You've got to put your eggs in a basket and really push and saturate that thing that you're going to do, drop off a few other things. And then once you hit that limiting factor, you might have to drive hypertrophy. You might have to build a little bit more muscle, recruit more muscle fibers. Sorry, guys. Recruit more muscle fibers and build more cross-sectional area of that muscle. And now you've got more muscle to make stronger. So now you can push your strength levels again, right? You might have to build more work capacity. You might have to do a bit of lactate training to hold more muscular glycogen, right? To help push more hypertrophy and then push more strength levels. So things like this is what your coach is going to help you do. Like, these are the things we look for in your limiters. Like, once we've been pushing a specific training protocol. We're looking for what limiters are up next. What is going to inhibit you from getting to the next level? And that's the thing we need to focus on next. So as you go through the longevity cycle, which we're going to go through, all of these things are going to be parts of the puzzle we need to put in place. And we're always going to put the emphasis on the thing you need next, which is going to potentiate the next thing. Right. And yeah, I think that is it, boys. So quite a bit unpacked in a short space of time. Let me see who else is on the call still. So Vamshi, I know you're walking at the moment, but let's open it up. Paul, did that make sense with yourself? Any questions on one, maybe where you're at right now, things, anything you've picked up there in what I covered in that little slide deck?
None right now. When I come up, I'll just put a code changer with a stick when I have some time to process.
Yeah. So what lifts are you using right now, Paul?
Barbell back squat, close grip bench press, and Smith machine Romanian deadlift.
Okay. Close grip bench. But how's your back squat coming? Have you got full range on the back squat? Mobility good?
Should be. Haven't had a coaching cue about going down further in a while. Just got a personal best, I think, on Monday. A new one.
Excellent. Beautiful. So actually, how far are you off the 1,000 pound club?
Maybe like 600 pounds at this point, I think.
Okay. So
Because
we're in the 400 mark, getting close to the, we're getting close to halfway, yeah?
I think so. I'm ranging between like 120, 125, 135 for the low range and 175 for the highest one.
Nice. Okay. So if you're, and you send videos to Andrew quite a lot, yeah? In terms of those lifts.
At least once a week for each lift, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So yeah, what he's going to be able to see then once you're using those, as you push, so remember I just ended that little bit of a slide deck with, as you push one thing, something else is going to drop off, right? So let's think of like the strength quality right now, you're pushing strength, right? So that's the quality you're going to push. So there might be a time you have to push hypertrophy. But here's the thing as well that I think of when we're pushing exercise. There's going to be specific exercises in your program right now, and there's going to be specific exercises that aren't in your program. So what happens when those are out? You're sort of detraining them to a certain effect because you can't put all exercise in every program, right? So for example, if you're going to be driving the squat and driving the squat and driving the squat, there might be limitations in certain muscular parts of your body that then need to be brought in further down the line, right? You might have to hit different angles of the bench press that's going to help you further improve the flat bench press that you're going to try and push towards the 1,000 pound club, right? So this is why like you're doing a great job with that, sending the videos. I know George sends me videos all the time. Actually, I'm going to live shot today as well. So he's doing the two. He's doing his clutter chins right in front of me. This is fantastic. Saves him sending videos later. But the best thing you can do, boys. Honestly, I know some of you guys are driving and you've got your cameras off right now. But keep sending videos because this is the thing we look for, right? There's going to be a certain point where you're getting so strong on certain muscles that other muscles haven't been following the same progression in terms of strength. So those are going to take a back seat, and sometimes those are the limiters that stop you really pushing those elements of further strength, which we then need to back off, bring those back in, strengthen those up, and then boom, we provide that weak link to the chain, right? We strengthen that weak link up, and then bang, we can push on again. Make sense, Paul? So good job, send those through, man. Anything like in your training at the minute you're thinking this is tough, like I'm struggling with this, or any exercise you don't enjoy, like things like that can be a factor too, like the enjoyment of something that can be a limitator too. But is there anything in terms of your lifts that you're doing right now that you find I'm getting close to the brink where it's going to be a struggle?
Just from a confidence standpoint, increasing weight for the bench press.
Confidence, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't use a spotter and I don't want to get trapped under it.
Yeah, got you. Okay. So give me an idea of your environment that you're in, right? So you're in a commercial gym or a home gym?
Yes, commercial gym.
Do you bench in a power rack?
No. It's off to the side. There's benches set up with barbells that you can use.
Okay, so there's no safety bars there, no?
They have Smith machines that
Okay, so obviously,
I could
if you're using the barbell bench, use the barbell bench. But little tip, it sounds unsafe, but it's probably the safest thing when you push your maximal strength. If I'm on my own and there's nobody there, so I train in my home gym, and I've got mine in a power rack, so I always set the safety pins on the side so I'm there. But if they weren't there, I would leave the collars off the ends. So the safety collars that you put on to keep the plates tight. If I'm really pushing something and I'm going to go, I know this is going to be on point there where I might not lift this up off my chest. I always leave them off because if I can't lift them, I'm just going to tilt it to one side and then the plates can slide off and I can tilt the other side and the plates slide off and I just get back up. So I'm always thinking like safety from that point of view. Now it sounded unsafe because there was no safety collars on the ends. But then if you look further, if you're going to push that max, and if you're pushing loads like that, the bar isn't going to be wobbling down like this. Your skill should be good enough to keep that straight. So I'm not too concerned about that. But if you are stuck at the bottom, you don't want to be stuck with those safety collars on because you want those plates to come off easy. Make sense? Good man. George, how are the chins going?
Just for everyone's benefit, January this year, we had a goal that I couldn't do any pull-ups or chin-ups. I think because of how heavy I am or how bottom heavy I am or how weak I am on the upper body. So now I'm at three sets of five.
Yes, boy.
And, you mentally struggle to work out that you're actually doing it. But I think that's just a mental breakthrough. I've always come to the gym and watched guys just fucking push out 10 or 15 or 20 reps. So for me, it's a breakthrough. But to relate it back to what you're saying, the minute I stop working on them, I know that, I'm just going to struggle to keep that back up. So I'm just going to put it into my daily repertoire.
Yeah, man. So notice, like, if you want, like, especially for chin-ups, I'm a big fan of frequency for those. So, like, I'd want to
Yeah.
hit twice a week as much as possible, So that'll only improve. And the minimum, like, I'd want repetition-wise to keep improving strength on chins is about 15 reps per session. So you're there. But now we're hitting that point where it's like it's maximal, right? So you get to that point where so actually at the moment, George is hitting that plateau for his. For his chins, we're
Yeah.
hitting three sets of five, and it's like he's struggling to get over those fives and push to six and sevens and eights. So at the moment today, you can see him doing he's doing a couple of chins, he's getting down. So we program clusters in there because I know he can do five. But what we're programming for George right now is sets of two. He's resting 15, 20 seconds or 10 to 20 seconds. He's doing another two. Then he's doing another two.
Yeah.
Doing another two. So now today, with the same weight, he's going to be doing eight reps per set over three sets, ideally. We'll see where that drop off comes because there's gonna end up being a drop off. But
Yeah.
then I'm looking at, well, okay, what other muscles can I start to affect? So I want to see if that improves now today because that can be a work capacity thing, which it can be. But then there's also other muscles which I might start to look to play with in his program repertoire. So like I just said to you, Paul, there might be certain ex muscles that I need to help bring up and strengthen up for George to improve his chin-ups. Right. So these are the things we need to look at too. Have you done one full set of all twos?
I'm just on my third now.
Look out, boy. Get him up.
So yeah, four by three. There you go.
Good
We're
man.
getting there.
Good man. Well done, sir. Strength is going up. So, to give you an indication on what we would look at with George moving on, so I know he's going to do his chins right now, but once he can do his sets of plus five and so on, now I'm going to go back to those twos. I'm going to load him. So, he's going to do sets of twos and threes. And now he's adding load to his body weight. Now he's going to work on different positions in the chin with load. So once I take that load away, how easy is body weight going to be? Way easier. So those reps are going to go up. Plus, he's going to be 85 to 84 kilos soon enough, and that's going to be easier again, right? But now I'm going to have to add weight over his body weight now once I go back to that. So if he drops down to 84 kilos, right? So let's say today he's like 88 kilos and he drops down to 82. So that's 6 kilos off. So I'm going to have to add 5 kilo plate to his belt just to get him back to where he's lifting right now. Right. So this is what I mean about relative strength. It's relative to your body weight. So, and I know he's going to be able to do 6 to 8 reps soon enough on his body weight chins at 88 kilos. So once he can do that, and I need him to do sets of twos and threes, I'm going to have to give him like a 95 kilo chin up. So I'm going to have to add, if he's 82 kilos at that point, I'm going to have to have like 10, 15 kilos on his dipping belt compared to body weight. Make sense? So now you can see, boom, we're going to train strength, heavy, 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 back offset, bang, take the weight off. Let's get those reps in, you know? So that's the, like the thought process we can start to use in terms of program design and looking at where your limitations are, how we can manipulate programs to help you take that little next step. Just things like that. You're gonna be starting to see Paul in your programs too, getting to that 1,000 pound club. And obviously a lot of the time, man, you're gonna be on low reps. Like for the majority of it, you're gonna be training low reps, maybe a couple of reps in reserve here and there. There are gonna be times where you're gonna have that fear of getting pinned with the bench, by the barbell in the bench. Remember the safety collar trick that I just told you there? Or make sure you got a spotter. That's the best bet. You can grind it out then. But for athletic development, over 40, for endurance, you're obviously gonna need to train those things. You're still gonna train VO2 max. You're still gonna train in the muscular endurance ranges as well. But strength is going to be the main driver to help that perform at a different level. So as you age, you're going to be, in my opinion, and when we definitely look at the research as well, strength, maximal strength, relative strength, if you can maintain that as you age, you're going to be in a much better place to keep moving forward and keep longevity in the front seat and health span as well in the front seat too. Okay. I'm just going to speak to anybody else on the chat as well. So, Vamshi, Kent, Jeff, anybody else got any questions on anything I've covered today? Everybody all good? Cool. So, Paul, are you training today? George is kicking ass. Thanks, Kent.
No, today was mobility day. Oh, mobility day. Wow.
There we go. He's keeping his mobility in already. It's back end of the slides. He's already doing it. Good man. Good man. And what's up next for you this week?
Training tomorrow and Saturday and cardio and accessory day on Friday.
Good man. Good man. So I've actually got a call with Andrew tomorrow. So I'll be checking in, seeing what you're up to. See you
Okay.
going. And what we're going to be starting to look to do, boys, just so you're aware. We are looking at integrating some leaderboards as well. So there's going to be things like this that we can monitor as a team and a community to like push Paul that extra step. You know what I mean? Like we're going to be checking in on Paul if Paul's happy for that as well. But that's going to be in a part of the community, which I'm looking into. We're going to see how we can integrate it. If it's going to be in your academy portal, it's going to be on the EverFit profiles. But we'll be able to see and just really help push each other to do that, right? So I'm a big fan of the West Side Barbell thought process of, if somebody's not getting stronger in the gym, then it's all of the collective trainees in there it's their fault, not the trainer's fault, not the student's fault, right? So we all got to be helping each other to do that. So that's something we're looking into to integrate soon enough. I'll keep you all updated on when that's coming. George, good to see you working hard, brother. Send me a message when you're done. I'll pick it up in the morning.
Thank you.
Kick
Have a
ass,
good day.
and you, brother. Have a good
Take
one.
care. Bye.
Boys, thanks for your time on the call today. I really appreciate it. As always, this recording will go up into the group for these guys in the next 24 hours. And as always, keep us updated on your progress, Paul. Keep us updated. Once you hit that halfway mark, I want to celebrate that one with you, brother, okay?
Yeah.
Good work, man. Keep us posted, okay? Thanks so much, Jeff. Thanks, Kent. Famshi, good to see you earlier, man. Have a great day, guys.